always excited to have this opportunity. Let's turn, first of all, to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, verse 20. Something jumped out to me here with David, and I just like this, a simple idea. But I was listening to the radio, and a man was talking. It was an ad for his company, and he said, "We do this, we do this," and he says, "And that's brilliance in the basics. That's what we call that." And I liked it. That was a catchy idea. Brilliance in the basics. Brilliance in the basics. The everyday things, getting it done, and making sure it's done well, done with the right attitude. A lot of times we come to chapel and we say, just give me a list of do's and don'ts, and then I'll abide by that. But we need a little bit more than do's and don'ts, don't we? We get tired of the do's and don'ts. We wake up and we don't want to reach for our to-do list. We battle with our will. We want to reach for the list of things that I want. I don't want a list. I just want my flesh to just guide me through the day. I feel like going back to bed. I feel like, when do I get my time? I don't want a list. We battle with the basics, those things. So today I don't want to give you a list of what the basics are, but I want to kind of give you a mindset, more of a, Brother Schreiber preached on having the heart set, to jump into the basics of every day. I want to deal with not what are the actions, but what are the attitudes that will keep me jumping into my to-do list, the things that God wants me to do. What's the heart set that I can jump into that with? So he says something that kind of cracked me up, David. So let's start with verse 20. David rose early in the morning and left his sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage. We see him careful about little things. And ran into the army, and we see him eager about his responsibilities, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the army of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled. So we fear debilitating the armies of Israel, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to this man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep?" So it's interesting how I don't know, Eliab kind of says, "Who's looking after your sheep?" And we're kind of prone to forget little things like that. And Eliab, I think sometimes maybe even Eliab is telling on himself a little bit. It's like, I don't like dealing with the little responsibilities. So I imagine you don't dealing with the little responsibilities. If I had left, maybe I'd be tempted to not take care of this. And I know you're young, and certainly the Bible says, "Let no man despise thy youth." You know why it's easy to despise your youth? Is because of the little things that it's common for you to forget. So it's your job. Quit despising my youth. Well, quit doing the things that caused me to despise your youth. All right? I wasn't told not to despise your youth. You were told to let no man despise your youth. By telling people to quit? No. By taking care of the things that cause us to despise our youth. Anyway. I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. I think he just knows that there's pride and naughtiness in the heart of youth, typically. But he had been away, and I think David had learned to deal with responsibility in a way that Eliab hadn't. And maybe he's kind of telling on himself some. "Thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when these words were heard, which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight against this Philistine. So where is this courage coming from? Where he's, tell these mighty men of war not to be afraid. I am here. Verse 33, Saul says to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And this idea here jumped out to me. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. Of course, he goes into, but those are the first words out of his mouth. Why do you think you can face this giant? Well, I was taking care of sheep. So I kind of battle with two sermon titles. One, I took care of my father's sheep, or brilliance in the basics. Those ideas. He was ready to face his Goliath because of how he handled his day-to-day responsibilities. So you have a heavenly father that's given you sheep. Those are your day-to-day responsibilities. And how you take care of those sheep right now will determine if you're ready to face a Goliath someday. So I just think it's hilarious here. Tell the men not to be afraid. I take care of sheep. I will go and take care of this man, this gigantic man, because I have looked after sheep. And for Eliab, it was a thing to be ashamed of. You take care of sheep. He goes, yes, I take care of sheep. Why is that a problem? That is exactly why I'm prepared to take care of this giant today. That's actually a good thing. You didn't get to take care of sheep. You were out here, doing push-ups or whatever. So you're not ready. You're hiding behind these bush. You're afraid of this man. But I've been taking care of sheep, so I'm ready. So my question is, are you ready to take care of the Goliaths? And we'll know whether or not you're taking care of your sheep right now. Let's pray as we look at this. Lord, I pray that you bless this idea. I'm real excited about the idea, Lord, but I can trip over my thoughts sometimes. And so I ask, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to give me liberty to express these ideas, Lord. Speak to my own heart as well, and I pray that you'd take this idea and carry it into the heart of a young man, a young woman here this morning, Lord, so that they can take care of their father's sheep, so that they're ready for the battles that you have for them down the road. I just ask all these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. As we know, there's more to the story. He said, and there was lion and bear that came, and so I've actually come across some bear in my life, some bears. I was in Pennsylvania, and we were in the woods, and it wasn't woods that were make-believe woods, that somebody had planted some pine trees and said, these are the woods. They were actually the woods, and there was wild raspberries out in the wood, and we were picking those raspberries, and there was a bear sleeping in the middle of the raspberries, and so as we got closer to the bear woke up and got up. And I remember not being very brave. I remembered I was there with my cousins, and we had biked. There was a couple. My grandpa had made some trails to the woods, and so I remember I don't think my feet touched the ground as I flew by and grabbed the bike on the way, and then somehow as I'm flying along, put it underneath me and pedaled away. And I had some cousins that were very good friends of mine, and even some girl cousins. There they were, and I did not think for their life at all. I'm kind of ashamed to admit it, but I got me up out of there. There was another time a couple years ago down in Tennessee. We were in the Smoky Mountains, and we were hiking along, and Alec, of course, was running up ahead of us, as kids love to do. Brother Schreiber, you go out to the dunes or whatever. They don't want to walk with mom and dad. They want to run. They want to hide. You're like that greenery that you found yourself in is poison ivy. Alec is doing the bear crawl through it, shooting Indians, and you're like, probably want to stay on the trail today. So he was up ahead, and he goes, "Dad, I just saw a bear," and we're like, Sure you did. Sure you did. And he's like, all right, you know, Dad's not concerned, so I guess I'm not concerned either. So we keep going. And we were on the trail, and he was along to the right of us, just ahead of us, going the same direction. And our trail turned, and he came out of the bushes and really didn't even notice us. But boy, we did an about face, and we were getting away from there so fast. And I'm not sure if he ever noticed us, but we were not interested in hiking anymore. We went right back to the vehicle and drove back to our cabin. Those bears are kind of scary. Now, I haven't come across a lion in the wilderness. We thought of James yesterday, and immediately, James, the way I pictured it, just in your defense, the way when he brought up you and lions, I just could picture you pursuing the lion through the. I mean, that's how my mind pictured it. It's like, I'm just going after it with your spear, but boy, those we heard about that yesterday. But I was thinking, if you're gonna keep sheep, there's got to be some courage and some commitment and some compassion. Some courage, some commitment, and some compassion. Joshua was given the job of leading the Israelites, and God told him to be courageous. So with courage, you've got to set aside your concern for your own safety. You've got to set aside your concern for your own safety. So if you're the shepherd, you're watching for the wolf or the bear or the lion to come. You're wary of the enemy. You're wary of the enemy trying to ruin you taking care of your responsibilities. So as you take care of your responsibilities, you need to have courage. Of course, we have that idea, courage isn't the absence of fear, it's overcoming your fear. But again, it's the idea of you setting your own safety aside. In John chapter 7, chapter 10, Jesus talked about being the good shepherd, and we noticed that he said he is the door of the sheep. He's the door. I am the door. John chapter 10, verse 7. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And so the idea there is there would be an opening, and the sheep would be inside that opening, and the shepherd would lay across the opening, and he became the door. The sheep would have to crawl over him to get out where it's dangerous, and anything dangerous would have to get past him to get into the sheep. He was the door. And you have sheep to take care of, and you've got to guard them with your life. You've got to decide, I have a responsibility, and I need courage. My safety needs to be set aside. These responsibilities are important. I read a story about a man that was going through a park, and he heard a girl scream in the behind these trees over to the side. And of course, your mind rushes through all the things that you're going to do. I'm going to call the police, but it will take them a while to get here, and she needs help right now. I don't want to get involved. What if I'm overpowered and the attacker? What if there's several attackers and the both of us are harmed? And what if? But the screams just compelled him to run back there. And the moment he decided I've got to do something, something inside of him jumped alive, and he ran back there and found an attacker. It was kind of dark and he couldn't see real well, but he grabbed the attacker and threw him back, and the man ran away, and the girl kind of scurried a little bit behind a tree a little bit, and he said, it's all right, the attacker has left, are you okay? And the girl said, Dad, is that you? And it was one of his daughters. And of course, the idea of what would have happened if he decided to, imagine what would have gone on. Now, you have responsibilities, and you say they're not important. You know, someday when my Goliath comes, I'm going to jump up and my responsibilities will be important. But no, he was ready for Goliath because he kept his father's sheep. He courageously set his own safety aside. And he made that a priority. And he was going to put himself, he's like, this will get done. This will get done. So there was courage. He set his own safety aside. He went after that lion. He went after that bear. And he said, you're not going to have it. And of course, we would say, come on, David, they're not that important. Of course, we love the story. But you'd say, it's just a sheep. Let the bear have a sheep. Well, the bear is going to come back for another sheep. And the lion's going to come back for another. And you've got to make a stand somewhere. And as the lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour, well, as a lion, the devil's roaring and he's going to come back for an area of your life. And you say, well, that's not important, that area. Well, he's going to come back for another area.
Yeah.
And he's going to come back for another area. The little areas of your life, you've got to say, my safety aside, I'm going to take care of these responsibilities. And it's not just areas of your life, but people in your life. Brother Bishop yesterday preaching on the area that you watch. People at your workplace that you have a responsibility for. People on your Sunday school bus that you need to pray about. We need people that will have some courage and will say, not on my watch. You're not taken off with one of them, because just as the eyes of man are never satisfied, the appetite of the devil is never satisfied. And he'll keep coming back and coming back again and again. We need courage in the little things. I'm ready to face that giant because I kept my father's sheep. I wouldn't let the enemy have even one of them. So when you're in church and the preaching comes, and it's clear that there's something in your life that you've given over, and you say, I'm going to change. God, I'm giving that back to you. And then somehow when you get away from the preaching, it's not as clear that that's so bad. And it becomes such a little thing, and it's not that big a deal. And it was all so clear when the preaching was so hot. And yet I get out here and this little thing that I've given over, and I kind of, my flesh enjoys giving that over. I enjoy the benefits of handing that over. No. You say, I have to have the courage. I have to put the safety, my responsibility, the safety of the people that I'm in charge of, that I have influence on. Upperclassmen, the freshmen are watching you. Upperclassmen, do you remember when you were a freshman and you looked up to somebody and said, well, wow, they're doing that. That must be the way it's done. What did they see? What did they learn from you? There's somebody watching you. And you got to say, I'm not giving up one of those sheep. And if the little things, you make that decision, you'll be ready to face your Goliath. There's also commitment. There's also commitment. So with courage, we're not concerned for my own safety. With commitment, you're not overly concerned with your own schedule. Your own schedule. He had that responsibility. And if a sheep wandered, that didn't matter what he had planned. He has to go find the sheep. All right? You need to say that his schedule comes first. His schedule. And it's hard. We wake up concerned with our schedule. What am I going to do today? But we know the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We need to wake up every day and say, God, here's my day timer. All right, I got some stuff in here, but you've got the day timer. Your kingdom comes first, not my little kingdom. Your kingdom comes first today, so I'm ready. Whatever you need today, I'm going to set my schedule aside for yours. By the way, you've got to have a schedule, or else when he says, I need you, you go, well, I actually haven't been doing all that I'm supposed to, and I'm really behind now, and I can't. All right? We need to do things decently and in order. All right? Somebody says, I need you right now. Oh, well, I never did my research paper, and I have an hour before class, and I have the whole thing to write right now. Your schedule wasn't under control, so when God says, I need you, you're like, I can't. All right? We need to have our time organized. Amen. And we need to be able to say, your schedule, I'm gonna make sure what I'm doing is I'm doing it when I'm supposed to. I'm doing what I'm supposed to. I make decisions. This time is not, I'm going to make sure I'm busy. I have a commitment to this responsibility. I have a commitment to these sheep. His father, it was organized. So when his father said, I have a job for you, he had an organization so that he didn't drop his responsibilities. He didn't say, oh, well, I have all this stuff that I need to do and I didn't do it and I can't leave now. No, he was on top of his responsibilities so he could say, hey, will you take care of this? Ah, looks like you've got a good operation here. Yeah, I can see exactly what you do. I'll take care of it till you come back. There's commitment. This morning I was reading the Dave Olson devotional, and it was out of Titus chapter 1, and the idea was not being self-willed. A bishop should not be self-willed. A bishop needs to be blameless, not self-willed. That was the first thing on the list, and it was an important prerequisite. If you're going to care for people as a pastor, you've got to set your own will aside. And commitment is that. You say, I'm going to take my will and set it to the side. Now, we wake up, our default setting is self-will. All right? Now, at my computer, I'm able to, and I don't know what you guys are able to do, but I'm able to add printers from the network. You know, I don't know if I could even do this, but, you know, I could shoot a piece of paper out in the bus garage, maybe, you know, I hit it and a piece of paper shoots out somewhere, so I can add printers. I can even add a printer up in the library and have stuff coming out everywhere. It's like hello, you know, it's like, oh, hi. I can add printers. Now there's a default printer. When I add a printer, it says, do you want to make this your default printer? And I have to say, no, I want to keep the one in my office as my default printer. But we actually have to get into settings every day and change our defaults. We wake up self-willed. Self-willed. You've got to get up every day and change your default systems. And say, God, I'm full of my own desires today, but I've got a job to do. I need to be committed to taking care of these sheep. I need to change my default settings. And I need to put your kingdom and your schedule ahead of everything else. Some will say, I'm sorry, I only have time for my work and for me. Well, we need to get our work done, but if we set that me time aside, we have enough time to help somebody when they need it, if we're taking care of the things we need to. Now, it was fun to go rescue the soccer team the other day. The soccer team, you know, there's something that jumps alive, Brother Schreiber, isn't it? When somebody needs rescued, you're like, yes, I can do that. And so Brother Bishop called. It was late at night. The soccer team was broken down an hour and 27 minutes away. I was like, hey, guys, you couldn't break down in Burns Harbor? So it's fun to kind of jump in, go drive out there, rescue them and bring them back. But there was a part of me that was really glad that I wasn't staying with the broken down vehicle. I got to be the hero and bring the guys back, but Brother Schreiber and Brother Bishop had to stay with a broken down vehicle, and they got back around 6 in the morning. All right? Now when you have things like that break into your schedule, you have to just say, well, you know, there's a time for everything. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time for this, there's a time for this. And if you're too wrapped up in your schedule and there's no flexibility there, you're not going to be able to do things like that. Right? Mr. Beeson is very sick. That means we have to go to Chicago and visit him. That really messes with our schedule, which means you have to say, okay, but there's a time for this, and there's a time for this, and there's a time for this. And so we have to work it out to do this. And there's a commitment there that says, I wish my schedule didn't have so many things going on. Well, are you committed to your sheep or not? It takes commitment. He had to take care of the sheep all day. He had to tuck them in at night. And if there was a problem with those sheep at nighttime, he had to take care of it. It was a 24/7 commitment. He wasn't punching a clock with that commitment. All right? It was 24 hours. A commitment. So we have to make sure we're doing things decently and in order. Going to help the soccer team was kind of fun, but I'm glad I didn't have to stay out there. And if it was every night, that would get old. But you know what? When you have a commitment, you have to be ready. Boy, aren't you? The problems. Pastor Dameron, preacher, imagine all the people that their life blows up. And okay, I had this plan, but I got to deal with this right now. But you know what? He made a commitment. And we need to have that commitment to our sheep. Thirdly, compassion. Compassion. He talks about that over in John chapter 10, as far as a shepherd needs compassion. Now, do you think David's going to go after that lion and bear if he doesn't care about the sheep? No. And of course, it says here in John chapter 10, the thief cometh, verse 10, not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. All right? Compassion is when I'm not concerned about myself. Not concerned about myself. The lion and the bear come and the hireling flees. But the good shepherd, if you're concerned about the sheep in your life, there's going to be compassion where you don't take off when the danger comes. Like the hireling does. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. So there must be compassion. Now, when you're excited about something, you have extra human strength. It's amazing how you think, I can't even move. And then somebody comes in and says, guess what? This happened. You're like, oh, and you do all these things and you say, whoa, how did I get all this work accomplished? Because I was excited about it. I think I've told you this story before. Claire can take every toy in the house and lay it out in the front yard and do a yard sale. So I come home sometimes and there's 3,000 things out in the front yard. And I imagine it's an imaginary yard sale. I don't know if people are stopping and she's getting rid of stuff. I haven't seen my power drill in a while. But I think it's imaginary. But that's, you know, she can do that. And she's excited about this idea because it's her idea. But when I come home and say, okay, everything needs to be cleaned up. And she'll be like, my leg hurts. I'm cold. I'm very sick, Father. You know, I hurt here. And it's so difficult to get her to bring all the things back in. But when there's compassion, well, you can do amazing things out of love. Love constrains us and love causes us to do amazing things. Where he says basically, oh, I take care of sheep and I actually let myself care about the job. So when there was something that came up where I shouldn't have been able to take care of it, I took care of it because I had compassion and that caused me to do amazing things. And this guy here is saying bad things about my God. And I care about that. I care about that. I'm sorry. I care about that. And he's going to stop. As soon as I can get done talking with you and get out there, the sooner his mouth will be stopped. By the way, in Titus chapter 1, where it says about a bishop needs to be blameless and not self-willed, it says later on that there are mouths that need stopping. Titus chapter 1, let me just look at that real fast with you. There are mouths that need stopping. And it starts with us setting aside our self-will. Verse 7, Titus 1, 7, a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. That's self-control there. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped. And David said, that's a mouth that needs stopping. And I'm going to go stop it. And you know why I'm going to go stop it? I've been taking care of my father's sheep. And I let myself care about my responsibilities. And my love for God, I know that without me ye can do nothing, John 15. But Philippians 4, 13, with Christ I can do all things. And my God wants that mouth stopped, and I want that mouth stopped, and by God's grace I'm going to go stop it. While our armies are cowering in fear, I'm going to go stop a mouth. And it starts with not being self-willed. Changing that default setting every single day. To God, I want to make what's important to you important to me today. So, let's turn over to 2 Timothy 1 real fast, and I'll conclude. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, it says here that God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Fear had caused the Israelites to be unable to do their job. But God says, I haven't given you the spirit of fear. This is 2 Timothy 1:7. But of power, all right? Power is the courage that we talked about. He gives us the power to go take on a responsibility. All right? So you say, well, I don't have the courage. Well, God gave you the power to take on your responsibilities today. Grab it and go. Okay? And but of power and of love. You say, I just find myself not caring about my responsibilities. Okay? Fear causes you to care about self over responsibilities, but God didn't give you the spirit of fear. God gave you the spirit of love. The compassion you need to take those responsibilities and care about them and do extra human things through God's power to take care of those responsibilities. Now, what about commitment? Well, I'm not that organized. I'm not able to. God hasn't given you the spirit of fear. He's given you the spirit of a sound mind. He's given you everything you need to take on those responsibilities, just like David took care of his, so that you're ready when the giant comes. So every day, pray those three things. God, I need that sound mind today. Would you show me what's right and what's wrong? And then, God, I'm going to need that love, because a lot of times I don't care about what's right. I care more about what I want. So, God, I'm going to need you to give me that love. Would you help me to love what is right? And then, God, I don't have the strength without you to accomplish what is right. Would you give me that power? Because I want that courage and that commitment and that compassion that David used to take care of his responsibility so that he was ready to take on Goliath. Fear says, I don't know what to do. Fear debilitates. Have you ever been, there's a problem, and you're like, ha, ha, ha. It just kind of comes in all at once, and it's so, somebody's hurting, this is happening, and you're like, ha, ha, you're not sure what to do. And somebody steps in and kind of saves the day with something super simple. And you're like, oh, I'm so glad you came. I'm so glad. Have you ever been there? Or it's kind of fun when you're that person, right? You say, I've been in this situation before. I'm able to, and you see somebody that's panicking and falling apart. Fear debilitates, but God has given us that sound mind that we can reach out for every day. God's mercies are new every morning.
Amen.
Grab that sound mind he wants for you, and you need that sound mind because there's going to be something that you're not ready for, but you can be. Fear says, I want to stay here where it's safe. But God hasn't given you the spirit of fear. We need that compassion that says, I'm going to venture out. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear says, I can't do it. But the power that God has for us says, I'm going to go do this thing. By the way, that's pleasing to God. That's what's called faith. When you're afraid, but you obey anyway. That's faith. Without faith, we can't please God. That's faith. Now that prayer, if you pray that prayer every day and get in God's word, that's a prayer that's honoring to God. Solomon, I was looking at this morning, 2 Chronicles 1, where Solomon says, I want to do the job you have for me well, and I need wisdom to do it. Would you grant that to me? Solomon excited God with that prayer. And God said, oh man, I'm going to give you that, and I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give you... You want to get God excited in the morning? Pray this prayer. God, fear is going to cause me not to want to do what I'm supposed to today. But I'm reaching out for that sound mind and that love and that power that you've given me. Help me to know what is right today. Help me to want to do what's right. Mr. Olson was preaching the other night, right? And he was praying. He said, God, some people here don't want deliverance from sin. They like their sin. But for those that do want deliverance, I pray that you'd allow this message to be a help to them. Why can't I be delivered? Well, we know why we can't. Because we don't take the cure that God lays out for us.
Yes.
You want to get God excited about your prayers? Pray like Solomon. Now, he had the ability to do this thing, but he became self-willed. His people were important to him at the beginning, weren't they? Later on, he was important to himself. And that's when his reign began to turn for the worse and the kingdom was divided after him. All right. You have a you have responsibilities. And I'm ready for them because I took out the trash. And behold, a raccoon met me in the way. And he did grab my trash and leave. Not a bag of my trash will find itself anywhere but in the dumpster. I pursued him. Well, maybe your responsibilities won't be that exciting. But you have a Heavenly Father, and He's given you sheep. And there's going to be brilliance in the basics if you have this mindset and this heart set for taking care of the responsibilities you have right now. All right? So that you're ready. Are you taking care of your Father's sheep? So let's go ahead and stand to our feet with our eyes closed and our heads bowed. Anyway, I'm kind of excited about that. Think about that verse, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has that for you today, that sound mind. Those mercies are new for us every morning. Did you wake up and grab them? Or do you think, God, I don't need them. I'm fine today. Someday I'm going to need them when my Goliath comes. Friend, you're not going to be ready when your Goliath comes. If you don't see your need to pick up that sound mind and that power and that love every day, and use it to tackle your daily responsibilities now, you will not be ready for your Goliath. Are you taking care of your Father's sheep? You make a decision if